Nowadays, people are very touchy about DNA because of all the mysteries and secrets that your blood can unlock. I know insurance companies are trying to decide right now whether or not they can test you before they allow you to sign on with them so they can determine if there will be any health issues down the road. How could that impact insurance payouts, a job? So much mystery surrounding that. And there's also issues with the courts and when crimes are committed, whether or not the authorities can take a sample of your DNA. And that's what we're talking about here right now. There was a recent case in court out in Herberg Way. Michael Hill he pled guilty to cruelty to an animal, bound a dog's snout shut, and his neck and legs as well with electrical tape. It took the man who found this dog, who was just discarded behind a grocery store, it took him a long time to cut that tape off. That tells you how tightly this stuff was wound around that dog. And Michael Hill will do 2 years in prison. 3 years probation as well. He can't own a pet for 25 years. Let's add a zero to that one, 250 at least. And now he has to give up some of his DNA. And it has some individuals concerned, groups as well. Ontario Civil Liberties Association is one of those groups. And I'm joined by Denny Ranquist now on the line. How are you doing, Denny?
Yeah, I'm good, Ryan. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for joining us here. You are with the Ontario...
Yeah, I'm a researcher, volunteer researcher with the association.
So when you heard about this, you were not pleased by this judge's ruling here?
Well, it's not a question of me personally being pleased or not. It's just the principle that we have, which is it's well established that it's unconstitutional just to order a citizen's DNA to be taken for a data bank that the government will hold and use in its police services and so on. That's well established. Normally, if you want to access a sample like that, you have to have a darn good reason. You have to be in the process of a criminal investigation, and you have to demonstrate to a judge that there's a relevance to the DNA for the particular investigation, for the particular crime. This is nothing like that. This is something that was done ad hoc after the conviction, and so it's a violation. It's a, well established that it's a violation of privacy, which is unconstitutional and against international law, that you can't just take someone's blood sample. Now, this was done, it appears to be done de facto as a punishment in addition to the jail sentence. So, as a punishment, to deprive someone of their privacy for future crimes that they may commit that we don't know what they are and sometime in the future, that is not a grounds for affecting this violation of privacy against the individual.
Well,
it's just a question of principle from our point of view, just purely on principle of that. And that principle is well established because it's there to protect citizens against a state that would misuse its powers. This is how it works in a democratic society. It's that simple, really.
Well, but the justice said, that we have seen examples of murderers, people who commit crimes who have done things, there's a progression, I guess. They start out with something like the abuse of an animal, and then they kind of work their way upwards. I guess that was her justification and demanding that a DNA sample be taken here. You don't think?
Yeah, that's irrelevant. I mean, the judge's opinion about the psychology of how you create a serial killer and so on, that is all irrelevant. That is a judge's opinion in their ruling. They're free to say whatever they want, and sometimes they say things, but they're not scientists. They're not social scientists. They're not psychologists. They don't know about this particular case other than the evidence that was given at trial. So, it doesn't matter what the judge says. There's a principle involved, and you have rights, and you don't give up your rights for all time in the future because you've been convicted of a crime. That's just the way it is.
Hey, maybe the justice does have a Minority Report. She does have precogs at home, and the red murder ball just rolled across and told her that this guy will commit a crime in the future. We don't know that, but so what will happen here? You're saying that this is unconstitutional, but yet the justice rendered this in her...
It's not uncommon for judges to make rulings or to make decisions during the course of a trial that are unconstitutional. This happens all the time. That's why there are appeals. And you know, judges are not always turned. Their mind is not always turned to an individual's constitutional rights. That's not always what is primarily, you know, of concern to them at the moment. So errors get made all the time. And in our opinion at the Ontario Civil Liberties Association, this is an error, and this is going too far, and it should not become the norm to order DNA samples like that in a case like this, irrespective of the nature of the crime or who the victim is or whatever, whether it's a person or an animal, irrespective of all of that, this is done after the fact in a case where no blood was involved, no DNA evidence was given or needed or anything like that, to violate someone's perpetually in the future their privacy right like that without grounds. It's just not acceptable in a democratic and free society.
Well, Denny, say this was a human involved in this. He bound a woman tightly with tape and left her behind the shopping center, and she was found, and he was sentenced to some years hard time. Would you have a problem with it if they took his DNA then?
You know, Ryan, it's the same principle.
Yeah.
That, you know, there would be a penalty. There would be a conviction and a penalty that is proportionate to the crime, and you can't, on top of that, add just ad hoc whatever you want that violates the person's right into the future that have nothing to do with the crime in question. There has to be a presumption of innocence. You know, these are fundamental principles that protect citizens from abuse. This is a powerful state. You know, nobody, for example, you know, I'm also personally concerned about the animal. That's besides the point. But for example, the Humane Society spayed the dog immediately.
Yes.
You know, was that necessary? Did they violate animal rights there? You know, how necessary was that? Well, that again is the state acting. Okay. So we need protections against the state. Citizens need basic, fundamental constitutional protections against how the state, which is whether it's the justice system, you know, the healthcare system, the animal care system. We need those protections, and the protections are based on these basic principles that are well established. You can't just start ad hocing, violating them because a particular case is high profile or generates a strong emotional response or whatever, you see? So that's what our association is there for, is to keep everybody's rational side, you know, screwed on correctly so that we can consider the principles that are involved and be fair in our treatment of citizens, whether they're being criminally charged or whatever.
Denis, before we go here, I don't know if you've watched Making a Murderer. I'm one episode away from finishing it. Have you?
No.
Okay, well, there's a lot of stuff that played in that show with DNA evidence. And before we did this topic, I've always thought, you know, why don't I just go to the authorities and give up a drop of my DNA now? Because I know I will never commit any crime. I'm like to think I'm a nice, swell guy. So why not give them my DNA? Because it's never going to come back to haunt me. I don't really care. But you know, you watch.
Well, I'm not sure that's the right way to think about it. Because it's not about whether or not you believe you